Hi, Douglas. Welcome to Full Story.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
I've got to ask, how has Victoria managed to sign Australia's first and only treaty with First Nations people in Australia when the rest of the country just hasn't managed it?
Yeah, that's a good question. This is something that goes back to 2016 when the treaty negotiations began. The state government here in Victoria entered into discussions with Aboriginal Victorians about treaty. This then led to the formation of the Aboriginal Treaty Working Group, and they basically, you know, initiated community consultations across the state to talk to traditional owners a bit about, you know, what should a treaty look like to them, and a treaty with the state government. There is obviously no other jurisdiction in Australia that has it, but after these initial consultations began, there was the passage of the Advancing and Treaty Process with Aboriginal Victorians Act that was passed in 2018. And then in 2019, we saw the establishment of the First Peoples Assembly of Victoria. And this was the representative body that would negotiate what would be within the treaty between the government and traditional owners in Victoria. It's been a bit of a long process.
It's been years in the making.
Yeah, it's a decade long process this has taken. And it's all just been in stages. And then obviously last year in December, they formally signed the treaty with traditional owners, the state government and traditional owners here in Victoria.
Is it fair to describe it as groundbreaking?
Absolutely. This is the first one of its kind in Australia. No other jurisdiction has signed a treaty. Obviously, this is only legislated. It's with the state government. But also, this is something that Aboriginal people in Australia have been talking about for ages, for decades. There is no formal treaty here in Australia with the First Peoples, and that feels like unfinished business to a lot of First Nations people. Yeah.
I want to ask a bit more about that, because you just said this is only legislated. How do traditional owners see this process?
From the traditional owners that I've spoken to, they see this process as a step in the right direction to, you know, addressing all those issues that we see with First Nations people in Victoria. Everything that's gone into it, we've got the Yuruk Justice Commission, the truth-telling body that they had for 4 years here in Victoria, that was a part of discussing what should be in the treaty as well, what can still be included in treaty, because this treaty also makes way for other treaties to be negotiated between First Nations clans outside of Melbourne and other areas of Victoria and their local area where they are.
Victoria has just had elections for a new First Peoples Assembly. Mm-hmm. It's called Galang Wall. What is that assembly going to do in terms of its responsibilities?
Now that treaty has been passed, this new body, it's also been renamed to Galang Wall, which means tip of the spear. It's now responsible for delivering on what's been negotiated in the treaties and for holding government to account and just making sure that, you know, when there is a law or a policy put forward that directly impacts First Nations people in Victoria, the First Galang Wall will have the authority to question how that is going to impact on First Nations people. But it also is responsible for delivering what's been negotiated in the treaty. There have been a few different areas of what's been negotiated in the treaty, and it comes to community, truth-telling, education.
Victoria goes to the elections in November, and I've seen that the Liberal Party has promised to undo this years-long process. Could we see that happen?
According to the leader of the opposition down here, Jess Wilson, yes. She has said on multiple occasions that the coalition here in Victoria, the opposition, they do plan to scrap treaty, scrap the entire process within the first 100 days if they win government in November. That will undo a whole bunch of work that's gone into this and a whole lot of money that's already been spent as well to establish this treaty. And what opposition leader Jess Wilson says is that they will establish a First Peoples Department. They have offered an alternative, but there isn't much detail in what that is. I've spoken to the co-chair of the First Peoples Assembly, Nagara Murray, and what they believe that scrapping this treaty will do is just basically going back to business as usual when it comes to, you know, First Nations affairs in this country. They don't see any, you know, self-determination in a department that is responsible for overseeing policies and laws that are to do with First Nations people in Victoria. What the treaty is about and what the First Peoples Assembly is about, it's about self-determination, it's about First Nations people in Victoria having the ability and the authority to make decisions for themselves. They want to be responsible for their future, basically. So taking that away from them, from what I hear, you're going to see the same thing over and over again, the status quo with First Nations people in Australia and the way that governments interact with First Nations people and the policies that they deliver that often don't make their lives any better. Yeah.
What you've described with the responsibilities of the First Peoples Assembly is multifaceted, looking at the curriculum, local level treaties, looking at dual naming policies. It's a huge amount of work to be done. Is it possible that the process will be too far along by the time the November election hits for any new government to unpick it?
I don't believe it will be. The government of the day will do what the government of the day wants to do, I guess you can say. But, you know, speaking to some of the candidates and the leaders of this reform here in Victoria, they know that this could be taken away all at a moment's notice. It concerns them, yes, it does. But from speaking to some of the candidates, it's something they say, look, we're used to this as Aboriginal people. We're used to having, you know, being given things and then having things taken away from us. But we will still do what is necessary to, you know, help our people. Yeah, this could be taken away. Until we get to that bridge, it's still in place. This is still happening. And I think it does need to be given a chance before it is scrapped, as the opposition plans to do, if they get into power, that is. But this is what Aboriginal people have been calling for, not just here in Victoria, but nationally as well. This is something they want to be able to be the leaders, be the people who hold the future in their own hands. They say that only they know what's right for their community, and not having the ability to properly govern for their community. And you're seeing what you're seeing now in Australia, that over-incarceration rates, deaths in custody. You're seeing children be removed at record rates, people living in absolute poverty across this country in remote areas, and it's ongoing. It gets worse in jurisdictions where there are no Aboriginal people who are leading processes like these for their people.
It's interesting that you talk about the candidates for the Assembly feeling that this is all a bit tenuous, even as it's incredibly ahead of other parts of the country. You mentioned the national perspective on where things are at now. So let's go to that, because the picture with the federal government does stand in very sharp contrast to what we're seeing happen in Victoria. What is the Albanese government saying it's going to do when it comes to truth-telling, for example?
So following the defeat of the referendum, the Voice to Parliament referendum in 2023, you know, before that, the Albanese government were committed to implementing the Uluru Statement from the Heart in full, which is voice, treaty, truth. But obviously now that the voice was voted down, those other two elements of treaty and truth, that's quietly been abandoned by the federal government. However, I did get some comment from the Prime Minister's office the other day. They're just allowing the states and territories to do their own process of truth-telling and treaty. And they do support what's happening here in Victoria. They do support truth-telling, but they're not doing anything on a federal level. It's all states and territories.
Have they explained why to you that whole process has stalled?
No, that's not a question I could actually get an answer to. I did put that to them directly, but no, there is no federal process taking place at the moment, no.
Do you think that has to do with the politics at the federal level after the defeat of the Voice referendum?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, to be seen to be talking about treaty and truth after the voice was voted down, that's not a great look for the Prime Minister or, you know, for his future campaigns, really, because that was voted down. So, you know, a lot of people voted that down, basically. So, no, that's something that they've moved away from just quietly.
But Victoria is very much alone in this. I mean, we saw in Queensland, they pretty much scrapped this process.
They did scrap the process in Queensland, and they've also done so in Tasmania. we'll just go around a little bit here. We'll go to WA. There's not much of a treaty process happening there. They did negotiate a very massive native title a few years ago, but there is no treaty process in WA. In the Northern Territory, there was talks in the early stages about treaty process there, but that was scrapped as well by the CLP government when they came into power. The closest thing to Victoria right now is in South Australia. You have a legislated voice to parliament. It's similar to what would have been on the national federal level, but it's its own thing. And they just had their elections as well. And that's still very much so in the early stages. And there is a voice to parliament in South Australia. In obviously Victoria, we have the treaty. In New South Wales, they're still in the talking stages of, there's independent consultation happening around New South Wales right now about what a treaty might look like or what's it going to take to implement a treaty in New South Wales. So they're in the independent consultation stages right now. In the ACT, they're also in talking stages about it. But obviously, yeah, in Queensland, the Christofoli government completely scrapped that treaty process when they came to power. So, yeah, what we see here right now in Victoria is the only state that has a treaty in Australia, basically.
We'll be right back.